Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you're considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. And our guests work in various professions and are at different stages of their career. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business questions. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download any one of our shows, you want to go to the LA Talk Radio website. And that's latalkradio.com. And just click on the link at the top of the website. It says Channel 1. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and just click the link. And that takes you directly to our archive page. And the archive page is where you can view the list of our past guests. Now, all of our radio shows on LA Talk Radio are available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. We're also on Stitcher.com. So just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box. And you'll find us from 2008 until today. Yay, lots of shows. Also, go to the LA Talk Radio homepage, and that's where you can download our free app for your Android or your iPhone. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, as you know, we are booked 6 months to a year in advance, and I know I hear the complaints, and people are cursing up a storm on the wait list. When? Well, honey, you just have to be patient. You will get on. If you want to know about our future guests, or if you work professionally in the entertainment industry and want to come on the show to share your sage wisdom and promote your projects, we are just starting to book for 2015. I think we have one date left in January, one in February, March. So yes, we do have some in June. So sorry about that, but please go to the official website, which is Question Reality. RadioShow.com, QuestionRealityRadioShow.com, and fill out the brief form on the contact page. And we will take a look at you and see if we can accommodate a position for you on the show. Now, we, as always, have a fantastic guest on the show, as you know, and we get your emails every week telling us what you think of the guest, yay or nay, usually yay, so this is good. We have two powerhouse, premium, top-tier casting directors on the show today. My goodness, let's see. There's Carol Ann. I hope I'm going to pronounce her last name. She's going to kill me. Carol Ann Leem. Oh, fingers crossed. It could be Lim, but she'll tell us. Casting director, teacher, acting audition coach, and the one and only WK, Wendy Kurtzman, casting director and former NBC and Lifetime casting executive and teacher. Now, I want you to go to the website, CTCacting.com. CTCacting.com. I want you to go there right now and check this website out. And as we are talking to them, you can be, you know, perusing it and send me the emails, and I'll forward it to Caroline and Wendy, and they can answer any questions that you have. So before we talk to Wendy and Caroline, I just want to tell you real quick. I'm an associate producer on a short film that's based on a true story, and it's called Our Father. And it was written, directed, and produced by Linda Palmer. And we went to the screening last night at Raleigh Studios. I was, even though I'd seen it before, you know, clips of it, you know, as it was going, I was so moved, not only by the story and the cast and the crew, but they have such a massive, loyal following. for this film that they've gained, and they just continue to accumulate. So I just wanted to take a moment to reach out to all of the founders and owners of Shorts Film Festivals for their consideration, because I really feel that this would be a boon to have this film at your festival. It's absolutely riveting. And I just want to give a really quick shout out to some of the people that made this film possible. And I apologize if we're missing some people. There were so many people involved. But of course, it was written, directed, and produced by Linda Palmer. And the other producers include Mark Cardone, Sandy Robinson, Colleen Keane, and spot on casting by Deborah McCarthy. She is an awesome casting director. I really, really liked her a lot. And the cast includes, of course, the multi-talented Michael Gross from one of my favorite hit comedy shows from the 80s, Family Ties, and also very powerful performances by Michael Worth, David Topp. Now, oh my God, for you casting people out there who listen to the show, you got to check this little hottie boy out. He is, let me tell you, now I shouldn't be saying that, I'm over 30, but I'm not a pervert, I just appreciate beauty. Now, this boy, I think he is going to be a huge, huge teenage star. Just, he's not only a superb actor, but you could just be mesmerized by looking at these massive Pantene locks of his hair alone. You just see him on the screen and you just go, wow, woohoo. Takes me back to my teenage years. I'm just going to stop and tell you right now. All right. So look him up on IMDb. And I'm telling you, this guy, you got to call him in for any teenage roles that you have. He's fabulous. Okay. So I'm also so happy to announce that he will be on my radio show at the beginning of next year. So all the young girls, he is coming on. Also, one of my favorite actresses, who she was just lovely, and we shared torn meniscus stories together last night, Eileen Graba. Really, 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 really great job. She gave a riveting performance. And also props go to Julia Silverman, Aaron Stahl, who just has such an intense focus. I have only met two other actors with that focus, and that was Johnny Depp and Keanu Reeves. When I was talking to them, it was like they were staring at me and, you know, the heart's pounding and it's like sweat pouring and I'm dabbing. But you can tell that, I think personally, it's my opinion, I think that that's one of the marks of a really great actor. So every actor that I've met that's been a top celebrity, they have an amazing focus with their eyes. They actually listen. Because, you know, you go to these Hollywood parties and you're talking to someone and you see their eyes darting around the room like, ooh, who else can I go attack? Who can I tell my story? Who can I give my headshot to? Or something. But, you know, I think that those are the actors that, with the intense focus, they really leave an impression on you, a very positive one. So this is a guy that does that. So also, last but not least, Isaiah Lucas, Patrick Centoplano, and Ali Eisman. So check out this website, ourfatherproductions.com, ourfatherproductions.com. So there you go. Yay. All right. So we have Wendy and Caroline on the show. I want to thank you both so, so, so much for being on the show. Thank you, girls. Did I bore you to tears or what?
No, I can't believe your energy.
My God, I feel lightheaded.
You got the name right.
Caroline, I said Liam and Lim. Which one?
It's Liam.
I got it right the first time. Okay, yay. Oh, I just thought I'd cover both just to be safe. Now, I just feel, again, as I said, I feel so happy to have two powerhouse casting directors on the show to help our actor audience with career advice. Now, if I were an actor, I don't think that I could actually conduct this interview, because you guys would both make me quake and tremble in my boots if I had to stand before you and try to do an audition. Let me ask you, Wendy Kurtzman, we'll start with Wendy, casting director, former NBC and Lifetime casting executive. Can I just shout out OMG? Now, that is such a prestigious position, but let me ask you, for those of us who don't know what a casting executive does at one of these top stations, can you just briefly share with us what your duties were and how you brought what you brought, or your skills that you may have learned throughout the years and also from working there, into what you do now working at CTC Acting?
Wow. Okay.
Wow, wasn't that long?
I just want to hear you be energetic and introduce us all over again. I will just tell you that my time spent in corporate or network, you know, world was brief, albeit it was probably maybe 3 years total, and it was in the beginning of my career. The bulk of my career I spent as an independent casting director and out in the ranks, you know, going from project to projects, and most of my work was done in long-form television and in film, and, you know, so I really spent very little time at the networks and on that side of it. So there's many, many amazing women and men that work in those, in that capacity and in those jobs, that have held those jobs for many, many years, that could speak to you much more eloquently than I could about what it's like to be a casting director at a network or at a studio.
Is it so different, like night and day, or is it similar or not at all?
I think that the skills you need are the same. I think you need to be aware of the talent that's out there. I think you need to have a certain level of taste. I think you need to have your finger on the pulse of who's new and who's up and coming and what projects are, you know, and what your project would be looking for, and, you know, being willing to kind of get out there and make yourself knowledgeable with what exists in terms of the talent pool and the different talent pools across the nation and even worldwide, certainly with the internet and with the way we cast nowadays. Everything is, you know, it's a much, much, much wider and broader net that's much more accessible than it ever was. So I think those are similarities, but in terms of really being out as an independent, you're really involved on every aspect of the production, and it's really, you're kind of the gatekeeper for the project, and when you are doing something for a network or a studio, they oversee and they stay involved in what you are working on, but you're really the one that's responsible. So they ultimately have the advantage to be able to see kind of the fruits of your labor and the people that you've gone out, maybe that you found or discovered, that or new talent that you may have uncovered. They are at an advantage in that if they weren't aware of them before, they can become aware of them through your work out in the field. So I think a person who's an independent casting director definitely is on the front lines. You know, we're the ones we're the ones they send into battle first.
Well, last question on that issue. How close is it to the movie Swimming with Sharks? Is it even similar?
Oh, God, I don't know. I mean, let's just put it this way. I think for every stereotype, there's probably some truth. You know, I think that's what stereotypes are based on. So why don't we leave it at that?
Yeah, I had to ask that question. Now, Caroline, I just want to say congratulations to you on your nomination, your recent nomination from Backstage Readers. You were nominated for Favorite Acting Class for Kids, the Teen Youth Class. So you must have felt so proud. That's such an honor. Can you tell us about that? That must have been so exciting.
I working in casting for as long as I have, you know, I'm casting a lot of kids, and over time, what would happen is the agents and the managers and the parents would, you know, want to get a little bit more personal time, and perhaps they thought that someone who was in the room might be able to help their son or daughter see things a little bit more clearly, or be a little less nervous and make stronger choices, what have you. And over time, it's turned into, you know, coaching in a class. And now with Wendy, you know, working with students who are now going into college, so it's been wonderful that, you know, something that I just love to do every day has opened up for me in a whole different way, and I'm able to share it all over the United States. So it's beautiful.
Now, Wendy, I know that before you and Caroline got together, she had been successfully teaching seminars around the country. Were you also pursuing a similar path before the two of you formed CTC Acting?
Well, honestly, once I left the active world of casting and I decided to make a segue, I did some work at, you know, at a school level. I did some nonprofit work. And I did some work at the high school level, working on one-act plays and helping direct and cast, you know, one-acts. And so I was working with students, and I was working with kids. I was also working with disadvantaged kids. I was working with high-risk kids. So I had some experience in that area. Certainly not this particular concept that Caroline and I decided to put forth for our company. This was kind of... this is just the genesis of this was really in terms of perceived need and where we thought our expertise and the areas that we both were strong in, where we could combine our talents and really move forward and make a company that would make a difference for our actors that are going through such difficult transitions, you know, from high school into college, and then certainly the transition from college into the professional world once they've left the nest of a 4-year program. And they're looking to make it in the film and television business.
Oh, okay, so Wendy, for those who don't know, what, and I'll just play devil's advocate only because, you know, these are questions that people might think of or ask, so they're just, you know, devil's advocate questions. Okay, for those who don't know, what do your classes on college to career acting cover, and why should students take your classes over going to, say, just plain old casting director workshops, acting classes, what they're doing now? Why should they take your classes?
Am I answering this? Is this for Wendy?
Yes, this is Wendy.
Okay. I basically, what I think differentiates what we're trying to do is that we are very specific in terms of our objectives. And we're not really an ongoing acting class per se. I think what we're trying to accomplish here is we're trying to give actors a very specific set of tools to work with and sit down and help them articulate what their objectives are and become more self-aware so that when they do get in a situation in front of a casting director, they have a much more directed point of view. They're much more prepared. They have a much better idea of how the industry would want to use them, how they would be cast, and that gives them more power and more direction for their career. So I think that was something that we felt was really, really needed, and I think that perceived need also came out of the fact that as casting directors throughout both of our careers, we attended many, many showcases that colleges would give, you know, for their graduates and for their master's students. And we found that the material and the kind of things that were coming out of these showcases that were the culmination of a 4-year, you know, program were not really relevant to what the industry was looking for. And we wanted to make a change in that as well.
Okay. Caroline, I believe that your show is on the Virtual Channel Network, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know. I do my research, and sometimes it changes like the day before. I never know. Can anyone tune into this channel, or is it for members only? And if so, how does one become a member?
I think anyone can log in to the Virtual Channel Network and then access, you know, look up our name, TTC Acting, and it'll come up.
Are these classes where, I know I viewed one, and you were giving very sage advice about what you can do, how you transition from going from high school, which I think this whole concept that you have, honestly, is brilliant, because there are so many things that are not taught to adult actors that, you know, as time progresses, we're getting more and more tools and we're getting more and more people who are being progressive with helping in various areas of acting. So, you know, like Actors Access, and then we've got the whole EcoCast thing. So these are not things actors had before. And if you're an adult, like over 40, oh Lord, learning all this stuff in the social media, I've heard so many stories. But I think this is a brilliant concept that you have, because you're taking teenagers with the open minds and the ability to absorb all of this information, and you're taking them right out of high school. And yeah, they may have been learning, you know, have been in some plays, et cetera, but you're taking them from high school to college. And then I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you're giving them the tools that they will also need once they hit the pavement in the entertainment industry, where they're actually going out on real auditions. So all of these subjects are being covered in your classes. And I cannot understand why any mother wouldn't want to have people be a have their children be a participant in these classes, because they're going to get such a jump on their career. So
absolutely. The jump, and it's also what we found from the other end, as Wendy so eloquently said, you know, we've been at this for so long that we can speak from that point of view, from the professional point of view, but we've also spent a lot of time with colleges and university admissions and heads of departments. So we also understand what these students, these prospective students, are going to walk into and what that audition process is going to be like for them as they apply to these universities and what those schools are looking for particularly. And it is very much so like what we look for when they graduate.
Exactly. I'm telling you, there are things that people do not know. Let me tell you, actors, let me just tell you, there is, for example, I'll just throw this out there real quick. Actors will go into an audition. Now, it's very crazy, and I don't know what the answer is, but I hear all kinds of stories. So I hear from some actors, they go into the audition, new, fresh, teenager. They go into the audition. They just, because they're polite, they may come from the Midwest, so they're very polite. They go right on up to the casting director and they stick their little grubby hand out and they want to shake the hand. Now, I personally, if I was a casting director, I'd be like, no problem. But some casting directors, oh my God, if you do that, it's like you're blacklisted in the town. I have heard them say, can you believe that person came up to me? How unprofessional. But what if the person didn't know that? Well, I think that these are things that casting classes or acting classes should teach, that you shouldn't do that only because of the disease factor. I'm going to throw that up there, because cast directors don't like, I don't know, they got something. They think everybody comes in with some sort of Ebola on their hands. But I'm just saying, this is from what I heard from my casting director friends, don't shake their hands. So little tips like that. Some people come into auditions and they come in, and if it's a period piece, they go out to the costume store and they rent the wench outfit and they come in looking like a prostitute, or, and that's great. Some casting directors go, oh my God, I love that. Other ones say, I cannot believe that person did that. So how, and this is for Wendy and Caroline, each answer separately, how do you teach these sort of tips in your class? And if not, what would be your advice to people to just be safe? You know, what do you do?
You want me to take that, Caroline?
You go ahead and start. I'll try.
First of all, what I want to say is that I think, as a general rule, I think casting directors, in terms of what they're looking for and how they perceive talent, that we're a pretty smart breed on the whole, and that we have a pretty good perception about who and what somebody can bring us. Pretty early on in an audition process, pretty much from the point that they walk into the room, we have a feeling, we have a perception, we have a criteria that we're looking for, and so that alone is something that an actor can't possibly always know one way or another what's right or wrong in that way. What they can do is that they can just be 100% prepared, they can be 100% professional, they can have questions about the material that they may need to have answered before they start off. There's certain ways that we can equip them and certain things that we teach the people that we're working with in terms of how they can take charge of their own audition. In terms of touching or not touching a casting director, I mean, I've heard this over the years many times, that there are colleagues of mine that prefer not to have a handshake and this and that. I can't really speak to that. That's certainly not the way I've ever worked. Having come, both Caroline and I both started as an actress, so we both have a great empathy and a love for a fellow actor. So I would never frown or look down on somebody that extended their hand to me in any way. But at the same time, the only thing that I used to tell actors in terms of personal space was that if you're auditioning for somebody and you're so close to them that they can't actually watch what you're doing or assess the audition, that, you know, if you get into that kind of space that breaches that stage kind of effect, then you kind of sabotage the advantage that the casting director has in order to be able to view you and perceive you for the role. So that was really my only criteria for like touching or personal space or that bubble or whatever you want to call it. And it was only so that I could perceive an actor's performance a little bit more objectively. But if an actor wanted to shake my hand, if they wanted to come in and give me a hug or whatever, these are people that have emotions and knee-jerk reactions just like the rest of us. And you know, you would never walk into a professional interview in a lawyer's office or in another situation and not extend a hand for a handshake.
Exactly.
That's a professional thing to do. So I really don't. It's so funny. This is like, I almost feel like that's an urban legend, you know. I don't know if it really exists. I kind of cringe to think that there are people that would not want that. You should just keep a Purell on your desk and get over yourself. But whatever. That's just my personal opinion. Certainly not.
Certainly not a
rule.
Yeah, you
right.
Don't,
and I keep Purell on myself. So
I'm sorry.
I get it.
Yeah, I'm telling you honestly. I mean, you may not have ever had or heard about that, but I have heard at least since I've been in Los Angeles, at least five actors that have been stressed out because they extended their hand and they were either told by the casting director that it was offensive, and or they thought that cost them the audition. So it does exist. So maybe that's something you might want to address.
Well, I will tell you that, in general, like I said, I think what we address is that we try and get the actor to feel really good about what they're going to do and self-possessed and able in any situation to kind of roll what's ever thrown at them. You know, you have to kind of be willing to just be flexible in an interview or an audition situation. Things don't always roll the way you may pre-plan them or perceive them. And so we try and give them a lot of different, you know, scenarios that they may encounter, especially the kids that are going from high school into college, because that's a very formidable kind of experience when you walk into a rehearsal hall or you walk in somewhere and you've got a lineup of maybe three people that are sitting behind a table and that they're looking at you, and you know, you see hundreds of other actors out in the hallway, and you know that for 3,000 kids that are auditioning, there may be 20 coveted spots, and those numbers are pretty, you know, they're pretty astounding, and
absolutely,
they can be a little intimidating. So
absolutely,
we really try and teach them that all that noise is just, it's just all noise, and that you have to kind of focus on what you're there for and do the best that you can.
Absolutely.
Now, everybody's got their own job to do, and the expectation in the audition room, whether it's in film or television or if it's for college, is the same. They're looking for a point of view. They're looking for how you prepared your work. They're looking for strong choices. It's no different.
Right. Now, Caroline, what are some of the mandatory things that an actor needs to know that they don't get from their acting classes at college that you teach them?
Well, if they're choosing Los Angeles, I'm getting ahead of myself. I would say the business of the business is something that colleges know they need to address, but for whatever reason, it ends up being a few weeks of a semester, or it might be a quarter, and it's an overview. It's more of a seminar, or might be a master class. It might be a one-week class, and that's truly not enough to know what it's like to live and work in Los Angeles and how to navigate it. So I would say that that's the largest, biggest part of a college program that is missing. What we do is we address and we talk with, we're talking with classes that are going on here in Los Angeles and also with university programs, and how we can incorporate what's already in their program instead of having them delete what they do, but find a way to enhance what they're teaching these kids already so we can incorporate how to navigate where they're going to go, how to reach out to people who they may want to work with in the future, how to understand who they are when they graduate, because in school, you're playing a myriad of roles, You know, you may play a clown in one play. You might play a five-year-old in another play, and then you end up playing some grandfather, and you're 20.
Yeah.
So, you know, so what we do is come in and we talk with them about how, you know, who are you today? Who's playing those roles? How do you fit in? What's the medium you want to go into? Okay, so are you watching any of it? And to go from there. So they can, when they take all their great training, they can now hone the personality, the aspects of these characters that they've played over time, but make it personal for them at age 20, 21, 23, 25.
Absolutely.
And, Priscilla, there's one other thing that I wanted to add to that, because you actually brought it up, and that was you were talking about the ever-changing landscape of the business now and how many different opportunities and how many different ways there are to be an actor in today's world. And I think that's another thing that we really try and show these kids is that, you know, if you're going to have a career as an actor and you're going to have longevity, that you need to be really aware and profoundly connected to all these different mediums, all these different opportunities. And like you said, the younger actors, that are certainly actors that are coming out of college and that are on their way into college, they are very, you know, savvy. They are the world is a very it's a very connected place for them, and so they're used to doing their research and living on the web and exploring and understanding that we're, you know, this larger connectivity. So that's hugely an advantage for these kids to know that there's lots and lots of opportunity, a lot of adjunct opportunity out there that didn't exist, you know, a long time
ago. Exactly. And what I love that you guys do, and it, oh my gosh, I can't tell you how I feel that this is so mandatory, not only for acting, but I think there should be a separate class for every career. I love how you guys coaching high school students for their upcoming college theater auditions, how you help the students choose the material, the pictures, help them with their pictures and resume, and you help them with their interview skills, and also hair, makeup, and wardrobe. Because I personally, you know, I used to, the little community theater, nothing big, but I used to produce and direct community theater. And you know, you guys may have done theater, you know, you do it all. You have to do the props, you have to know how to do the lighting, you have to do your own makeup, you do everything, which I think is just skills, it's just skill building. And when you start doing it at a young age, it's just like second nature. And by the time you get out of college and you go, oh my God, I can't believe they want me to put my own makeup on. What? Look for my own damn costume? Oh, hell no. You know, if you start this early, like what you're teaching, they're not going, it's going to be second nature to them. And that's what you guys provide for the high school students, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think we want them to look and project the best of who they are. I think the one thing that we're trying to be very careful of is that everybody has a unique look and a unique style. And what we don't want to create is kind of a cookie cutter look, you know, between the people. For, you know, we don't want to have our kids coming out looking and dressing a certain way, or having our kids, you know, being identified as kids that have come through our door. We want to work with kids and honor their style and honor their look. And if a kid, you know, there's a lot of young women that aren't makeup users, you know, that's just not who they are, and they're not comfortable wearing that. So we want to honor that, and we want to say, okay, that's okay. Let's get a look together that represents you, but that's also very acceptable and respectable for this particular audition and this situation. So we try to, you know, I don't want it to seem like we're putting them through a conveyor belt and poof, the hair and the makeup and the clothes and poof, they come out the other side. Because I think actors are such unique and interesting individuals. And I think that's what ultimately the colleges really want to see. They want to see the essence of who these kids really are. So we don't want to style or make them up and you know, window dress that to the point where you don't know who they are anymore, you know?
Right. Well, I think that, and again, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I think that actors, in order to take headshots, and this is just from what I've heard in the industry for years, I think it's important for an actor, and if you disagree, please tell me, because you can correct me anytime, but I think it's important for an actor to know their brand. A lot of times actors go and get headshots and they look look like an accountant, but they're wearing a motorcycle jacket and they have long hair and they think that that is their brand, but that is not their brand. You do have to know, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong because you two are the experts, but I do think that you need help. Somebody should guide you to help you find mm-hmm. your brand so that you're submitting for the right parts, or else mm-hmm. you could be submitting for parts that, you know, it's just like American Idol. You go in there and you think, oh, hell yeah, I can sing in tune. And you cannot sing a damn note. What? You don't know your brand. Or you're singing country and you should be singing blues. You know what I mean? So it's important to find your brand. How do you two feel about that? I mean, I could be wrong.
Absolutely.
But you're helping.
It's about awareness also, you know, and people can tell you one thing, but you're not going to know until you know it.
Right.
And part of that awareness is, you know, looking at the world around you. Some of the students we work with, you know, there's a certain essence, again, what Wendy was saying, there's a vibe that you get from someone immediately. And we can tell by the way they approach material, by the way they swagger into the room or the way they cautiously walk into the room, that we already form an opinion about them. And the sooner they can become more aware of what that is, they can capitalize on it. There's room for all of them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think what Caroline said is so perfect in terms of summing this up, is that there is a space for everybody out there. There really is. And knowing what you're saying, Priscilla, about a brand is really just about knowing just a self-awareness. And honestly, I think that, you know, a kid that's 17 years old and or 18 years old that's, you know, coming out of high school and going into college, I have you know, kids that have gone through the teen years and have gone off to college and graduated. I'm not sure at what stage self-awareness actually kicks in 100% during the developmental stages of things, but I will tell you that that's really half the battle. And we do a lot of exercises. We actually had a fantastic experience in a class that we just taught recently for university that we did an exercise with the kids where we asked them to become very self-aware we created an exercise that would allow them to describe themselves in certain ways. And we had a very, very interesting kind of revelatory discussion afterwards about how a lot of these students wanted to describe themselves, and it wasn't how Caroline or I would have cast them or how we would have looked at them or the way we would have put them or used them had they walked into our office for a project. So wow. I think that the disparity between sometimes your self-perception and the way the industry perceives you is an important gap that you have, that we're looking to, you know, help bridge.
Absolutely. Now, Caroline, this question is for you. On your website, you state that successful actors have agents, managers, and publicists mm-hmm. to help guide their careers. How did these successful actors achieve their success without having the guidance and knowledge that you both now offer? How the hell did they do it?
Well, there's never one answer for any of that. Okay, so just like there's no one way, it's not like, you know, so we go to college and we get a degree and we start working immediately. As the perception, now I know this isn't true either, but the perception for perhaps an attorney or a doctor that there's, you know, you lay a track, you follow the track, and when you come out the end of it, you know, you're set. Now I know that that's not true because I know plenty of attorneys and doctors who have not quite gone very easily from college to an office.
Yes.
And it is no different for an actor. It's just there's more of a spotlight on, okay, and there's so many more actors out there. How do they do that? Well, a lot of it is they work on their craft. They're ready to go when the opportunity knocks. And by helping, part of it is word of mouth. We're talking about these stars. You know, people talk to people and mention people. And casting, if there's somebody we love that we've seen come through our door and we can't, you know, for whatever reason doesn't fit our project, we talk to each other. And it becomes a network. And so what we do for these students is become a network for them in a sense, because we help them connect with who they are, and then how they would translate that into the right college for them, that works for them. And then as they navigate through their college years and into their summers, because when they're not in school, what are they going to be doing to prepare for their professional life? And that is something that they can work around.
Carolyn, one of the things that I saw that you offer are tips for their business and actor. And to follow up on the question that I just asked you, I think, and again, it's just my opinion, I think one of the reasons why those particular successful actors that have agents and managers and publicists that didn't have access to what you offer now, how they did it was, I think that they may have been very proactive and they learned about the business, because some actors, God bless you, don't be sending me emails, they say, I don't want to focus on the business. I just want to worry about the craft. They don't want to focus on, you know, having the headshot and then going out and trying to get an agent and a manager and then going to casting. They just want to be called. They want the phone to ring and just go and do their craft. And I think that one of the things that you guys offer, again, tips for business, you got to teach these young high school students that it's not just about getting called, waiting for the phone to ring. You got to get out there and pound the pavement, and an agent will take you on. I mean, it's just like the music industry these days. They want you to come to them. They want you to have the songs written. They want you to have your own CD. Mm-hmm. They want you to have a huge social media base, and then they might think about taking you on. That's the same with agents. They want to see that you have been out there pounding the pavement on your own, and that's something that you teach these young high school students to not be lazy and to get out there, correct?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
To get out there,
right.
To create their own projects. You know, a lot of them are very social media savvy. That's just how they grew up, and they create their own projects. They write things. They collaborate with each other. They come up together. They work with other departments. It's not just theater. They work with the film and TV department. So they work in voiceover.
Priscilla, also, you touched on something when you said, you know, how did these actors of the past do this, and, you know, versus actors of today. And, you know, the truth is also is that the business, as you can attest, has changed greatly. You know, there was a lot more focus in the past of, you know, there were managers and there were talent agents that worked much more in the development of new talent.
Right.
You know, and then there was a big paradigm shift in the entertainment industry in general, where, you know, movies went, as you can appreciate, you know, the indie movies got harder and harder, financing became harder and harder, you know, there was consolidation, there was a protraction of the business, and general, the opportunity got much more precious and much more difficult to, you know, access. So because of that, you know, these actors who have had lots of opportunity maybe for development in the past with agents, or maybe agents had taken on unknown talent and worked with them over a long period of time until they finally broke. Now, because of, you know, big blockbuster movies or the kind of content that's being developed, you know, there isn't a lot of that out there. There isn't a lot of opportunity to take somebody and to nurture that career along and help them and give them all these tips and tell them what not to do and what to do. And when you go into this office, you know, this is what you need. Like, there's just not that kind of hand-holding available. Time is just a very, very valuable commodity these days.
Right.
And so I think one of the things that we really wanted to do was we wanted to be able to back out of that crazy, time-crunched, objective, you know, track that everybody seems to be in when you are project-based in Hollywood, and pull out of that and say, you know what, guys, we have the time, and we're going to take the time, and we're going to sit with you, and we're going to give you an insider's view as to how this works, and we're going to spell it out for you and walk you through the process and make sure that when you do get your moment in the sun, you're prepared, you understand who you are, you understand what you're there to do, and you don't squander a wonderful opportunity in front of somebody who may write a note next to your name that you're not prepared or you're not very good, and that'll put you in a tailspin for the next year.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the things that, you know, I think that it's certainly for me, I was in the business for such a long time, and I went through so many different phases of it, and I've watched it change so drastically through the years. You know, it was a very different business when I started versus the way it is now. So, you know, actors, the exciting news is that actors have so much, like Caroline's saying, they have so much opportunity, so many opportunities, I should say, to develop content for themselves, to write, to find other ways to be actors that maybe aren't necessarily in front of the camera type opportunities, but keep their craft alive and keep them able to sustain and make a paycheck. And at the end of the day, that's kind of what the success of an actor is to be able to be paid for what you love to do and to keep being able to do it.
Absolutely. So, and I think that your particular program, it covers what I feel are two areas that are being underserved, and that is from high school to college, you need to know there are certain things you need to know. And then you guys cover from college into the entertainment industry. So they're getting two full doses of like information that you need, because there are certain things that you do when to get apart from during your high school days, your young teen years, and then you got to transition yourself. You have to acclimate to what you're going to do to change that from college to the entertainment industry. And that is succinctly, I think, what you guys do for sure. Now, I think that I wanted to talk about real quick, because we only have 2 minutes left, but I know that you're working with high school and college students on the ANGEL program. So maybe one of you can talk about that for 1 minute, and then we got one more minute to ask another question. So whoever wants to talk about that.
I don't know if you're talking about what Caroline and I are trying to establish, but what part of what our company wants to be able to do is we want to be able to work with kids, you know, based on need and not necessarily on only financial capability. So what we're trying to do, and with some of strategic partnering and some hopefully as we grow the company, is that we're trying to get a advisory board and a group of people together that will help finance some of these kids that can't afford to work, you know, that maybe come from low-income families or from situations where they don't have financial opportunities, and that maybe they could be given an opportunity to work or to be given a class or take part in a workshop and have that, you know, underwritten so that they could.
I love that, Wendy. I'm on board. I got some cash. I'm going to send you some cash.
You know,
How can we help?
Well, you know, honestly, I think what Caroline and I are looking to do is what we're trying to do is set up CTC Angels, and that we're hoping that we can create a group of angels. And, you know, it's really not a lot of money. It's really pennies for some people. But for a kid that can't afford it, to be able to get this kind of information, even for us to be able to give from the library of the monologues that we've amassed, which we've amassed a pretty extensive library, to be able to sit with a high school student that wants to be able to be a contender and go off into these auditions and maybe is going to the Unifieds in the beginning of the year, and they don't have access to great material, and they don't have a high school drama teacher that can spend time with them, that maybe they could have the advantage and be given a couple pieces by us that we know would suit them and fit their type and fit their age range. And it's really so little, but it makes such a difference and gives them such a level of confidence. We really are trying to accommodate those kind of kids. We don't want them to be turned away or discouraged or not have their dreams because they don't have the finances.
I agree. We're going to finish that real quick, but I want to ask, one, can we find this information on the website? Do you have...
Yes, that information is on the website, and also our work that we're doing with, as we're talking about strategic partnerships in the area, and also our podcast, which will give information from heads of departments and admissions, a really great Q&A sit-down, get the skinny on what they're looking for.
Okay, and now I know there's a book in the works. We'll talk about that in one little second. But September 21st, you've got a musical theater workshop with Michael Levine, musical director and foremost collector of the sheet music in the nation. And then on September 29th, you've got a free college information night in San Diego where you're going to be sharing information to help high school students and their parents and higher education counselors kind of clarify appropriate BFA programs, because for the college-bound theater students, because it's a very confusing question. Kids go, oh, should I do a BA? Should I do a BFA? So mm-hmm. that is information that they definitely need. So we want people to go there. That'll help them narrow down their choices and kind of, you know, cast a wider net. So that's on the website as well. You've got that posted on there, September 29th, where you're going to be.
Yes, we do. We're going to be in San. We're going to do a bunch of these, actually, these informationals, and we're going to do one in San Diego and La Jolla. We're going to do one in Santa Barbara at the Carrillo Recreation Center in October. We have another one. We're going to do one up in San Francisco at the Academy of Art in San Francisco, and one here in Los Angeles also. And these are going to be free info nights for kids and their parents to be able to attend to find out what the what the components are that go into a college audition, what the requirements are, what the differences are in the programs, just even simple things like, you know, when they list on a website, you know, a contemporary monologue and a classical monologue, what they mean by that, what, you know, how that breaks down, how to look for material. So we
basically
just,
everything,
you know, basically to give them an overview so that they can get their questions answered. We find that parents especially are so appreciative for these nights because it's a little bit nerve wracking knowing your kid wants to go off and do a BFA program in acting.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
So I think they want to know.
They're all scared they're going to end up eating a can of tuna fish a week. Well, we are over, and I'm so sorry. We could talk for 3 hours, but we got to go, honey child. Everybody go to ctcacting.com, ctcacting.com. Everything that Caroline and Wendy talked about on the website, check out their upcoming classes. Thank you, ladies, for coming on. Can I book you for next year?
Oh, we'd love it. Absolutely. Thank you so much for supporting us. We so appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy and Caroline. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona right here on LA Talk Radio.